హలో ఫ్రెండ్స్, వెల్కమ్ టు దేవ్స్ పాడ్కాస్ట్. హోప్ ఎవ్రీబడి ఈజ్ డూయింగ్ వెల్. టుడే ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు డ్వెల్ అపాన్ ది సెకండ్ ఎపిసోడ్ ఆఫ్ మై మెడిటేషన్ త్రూ విపశన సబ్జెక్ట్. ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ ఎపిసోడ్ I explained the definition of vipassana, which is self-exploration through observation-based meditation. Let us carry on from there. Now, I landed in Igatpuri on the slated day. And after the process of registration and freshening up, we were provided an evening breakfast. We were directed towards the meditation hall. And before entering into the meditation hall, we were instructed to strictly put the mute button on our mouths for 10 days. We were told to adopt absolute silence, a vow to keep quiet till the completion of the meditation course on the 10th day, except for a few moments when the moderator calls you to check how your vipassana is going on. At around 5:45 p.m., the best ascetic of meditation in India, Sri Satyanarayan Ji Goenka, appeared on the little podium in the hall and started to speak. He explained us in a very simple language what we were supposed to practice. I quote his words: "Treat your mind as a watchman. Make it stand below the nose. The watchman must know the incoming of the breath and outgoing of the breath, each and every breath of yours." I was surprised, because breathing is a normal functioning of your body. During any work, any act of body, of mind, your breathing goes on. But it's always unnoticed. You're going to office, you're doing your routine work, attending meetings, household works, traveling, playing, exercising, even sleeping. Your breathing goes on, because breathing stops, life stops. Simple. But he told us that despite this, you are supposed to do this practice. And the instruction was very crystal clear. You are supposed to only observe the breathing. You are not supposed to change the speed of the breathing. No deep breath, no fast breathing, no omkar, no nothing. You are expected to keep all your religious practices out of the complex. Thus, we started to concentrate our mind on our breathing. And everybody realized in a very short time that this is a very difficult practice, because the mind inadvertently travels either in past or in future. It don't want to remain in the presence. Breathing is your presence. You have to keep your mind in presence all the time. The more it slips in the past, or the more it slips in the future, the more you will snatch it back to presence without any frustration, without any anger, and force the mind to do its job assigned. That is to observe the breathing, the incoming and outgoing of the breathing. Three hours passed in no time, and at 9:30 we were told to go to bed to reassemble again at 4:30 a.m. in the morning. There was no dinner. We folks so habitual of night dinner. I was shook inside. I don't know how I will sleep, how I will able to sleep. But it was rule over there, compulsory to follow the timetable. And quietly we went to our respective beds. Since there was nothing else to do, just lie down. There was no book to read, no television, no news, nothing. Just lying down. So, inadvertently, the mind came back to observe the breathing. So I carried on the exercise which was started in the meditation hall. And I didn't know when I slept. We were got up by the common morning alarm at 3:30 a.m. and all of us had an hour of window to finish our morning rituals. Sharp at 4:30, again meditation started till 6:30. From 6:30 to 8 a.m. it was time to bath and breakfast, and then 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. again meditation time. The lunch was taken between 11 to 12 a.m. And it was this slot of 8 to 11, the body starts to respond. Some of us later complained of headache. Some of us complained of body ache. Some of us complained of mental convulsions. Many reactions of these types. At 12, we again reassembled in the hall to resume our meditation with a change. We had a moderator sitting before us, and he started to call all of us one by one to have our feedback. Everybody went before him, sat before him, and gave his feedback. It carried on till 2:30 p.m. Only one person used to go, and everybody else will continue his meditation. And then at 2:30 we were released for to have an afternoon nap to reassemble again at 4 o'clock. Then from 4 to 5:30 meditation time, and 5:30 to 6 the evening breakfast. By that time I came to know that this is the dinner only. We reassembled again in the hall at 6 p.m. to resume our vipassana, and this was to be the shortest duration in the cycle. As we were woken up by the voice of Sri Goenkaji, and he was to preach us for more than an hour. So broadly, this is the timetable for the next 9 days. This was the timetable to follow. We will now look into some highlights of Sri Goenkaji's discourse, which actually set the tone for the next 9 days, how we will go on for the vipassana, and how the ultimate goal which is to be achieved, that is, to exploring yourself to exploring your mind and body, to have a deep interconnect. He spoke for an hour. And I quote, he said, "We must acquire minimum knowledge of Vipassana, which is the first step to head towards freedom from the pain and exploration of yourself. Freedom from disorders, deformation of mind. We must protect our character. Gradually, as the time goes on, you will be able to separate your mind from your body. You will gradually forget your me, mine, myself, which is the origin of all the pain and disorder of mind. Unquote. To explain his point, he gave an excellent example of our routine life. When you have a child in your house, we normally employ a midwife to take care of the child. Now, that midwife always takes care of the child, saying, "Oh, my child, oh, my child." She will always call the child as her child and do the rituals for the child. But she is fully aware that the child is not hers. This is the approach we are supposed to have towards our own body. The mind must know that the body is not mine. Nothing is mine in this world. Friends, the discourses of late Sri Goenkaji are available on YouTube. And please listen to these at least once in a life, and you will be able to understand the Vipassana in a proper way. Let us move ahead now. It normally takes around 3 days to get into the groove of Vipassana. When you are smoothly shifted in the next gear of meditation. In this stage, you are expected to drive the mind from the nose to the whole of your body. By that time, we are in a position to order the mind to observe the body from top to bottom. The travel of the mind should start from the head and come down gradually to all parts of your body. It should watch all parts of your body till your toenails. Then take the mind in reverse direction till your head. It must travel all parts of your body, and while traveling it must observe your body parts from the head to ears, eyes, face, neck, arms, chest, stomach, navel, waist, groin, knee, shin, instep, ankle, sole, toenails, and while going up, ball of foot, heels, calf, thighs, buttocks, hips, back, forearm, armpit, shoulder, head. And again, the mind should stop back at its original position, that is nose. In initial stages, it takes about an hour to have one cycle of this traveling of your mind through your body. Later on, your mind should be able to concentrate on each and every part of your body. If it goes in your left hand, it should absorb minutely to the left hand. Maybe there is some pain in elbow. Maybe there is some scratching sensation at the wrist. But you will not do anything. you will just observe what is happening over there. And you will not be able to understand how time is consumed in this. This is how you separate your mind from your body and mind control on your body. From eighth day, you will be able to experience the interconnect of mind and body. You are able to achieve this for following reasons. Why? Why you are able to achieve this on the eighth day? Number one, the complete quiet, that is moan of yours. There is no noise, there is no sound in that whole area. This injects, your moan injects infinite amount of energy in your body and mind. Then you are absolutely cut off from the world. No newspapers, no television, no family, no responsibilities, no disputes, etc. This enables to understand a universal truth. That is, nobody is invincible, indispensable in this world. The ego is vanished. Friends, I promise, after 10 days, you are an absolutely changed man. Your outlook towards the world changes drastically. So, if possible, each and everybody of us should at least visit the Vipassana University or Vipassana Kendra for once in a lifetime. At least once. And then, in daily practice, you are expected to make a replica of this atmosphere in your house. Isolate yourself for an hour. Remain absolutely mute, silent, and perform these stages of meditation. No time is prescribed, any time in the day, but preference should be given to early morning hours or late in the night after dinner. These are the hours when there is no noise. Try it and you will be able to remove all the disorders of your body. You will be able to understand, feel the connect of your body and mind. These are two different things. The anger is drastically reduced. You will feel a different kind of pleasure in your mind. Please believe me, friends, when I came out from Vipassana University, after 10 days, my addiction of tobacco was gone for good. I haven't touched it till date, nor any craving for it at any stage of my life. And this is what the revered person with whom I visited the Vipassana University foresaw. When I went back to him, he said, "Now, are you going to consume tobacco in life?" I said, "No, sir, thank you very much. You have freed me from some kind of devil." Friends, meditation is a boon for humankind. Please understand it, practice it on daily basis. You will be able to change your course of life. It will be full of pleasure, confidence, as well as you will be able to know the hollowness of me, mine, myself. Thank you for listening, and goodbye for now.